You've tuned into His Name Ministries podcast.
He is in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. Destiny and I just got back a couple weeks. We were on a trip. We went where I'm from, Missouri, and we spoke at a service there, and we saw God do amazing things. The service that we spoke at it's called a miracle and healing service. And we saw that. We saw God heal people there instantaneously in the crowd, God touching his people, people never the same. And then we went to Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma, where that's where I was born, and I lived there for a little while. And we went and spoke at this church that I grew up in. And that's where I was dedicated. That's where I grew up. That's where I kicked the hole in the church door with my cowboy boots. Amen. I got in a lot of trouble. And it's funny because for the longest time, they had a hole in the door, and they would say, they call me Bam Bam. They go, Bam Bam, you did that to the door. And it's funny because people thought I got mad and kicked the door, but I know exactly what happened, and I was with the older guys, and they told me, kick that door. It's really strong. You can't do nothing to it. And I kicked it, and I put a hole in the door, and I paid for it. And my mom still today thinks I got mad and kicked the door. But, yeah, we spoke there, and it's amazing what God's doing there at the church. It's kind of like what's going on here at Lift Church. It's grown, and it was a small little country church, and now it's this big building. They built this big building, and people are packing that place, and it's truly amazing what's going on there. My uncle is now the pastor of that church, so we had a great time. God really moved. People's lives touched by God, never the same, and I pray that's what will happen this morning. Amen. Lord, I thank you for this service this morning. I thank you, Lord, for everyone here. They don't hear my words. Lord, let them hear your words. And you said, is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rocks into pieces? I thank you, Lord, for your word. It is a fire. It is a hammer. And I say in the name of Jesus, this is holy ground. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I want to speak this morning, not too long, about a couple hours or so. Now, I want to share, and this has been on my heart. This is something I've been thinking about for a long time. And when I got asked for this opportunity to speak this morning, I knew I was going to share on this. And I hadn't even put it together as a message. I think about it a lot. I'm always seeing it in the Word. And I knew when I got this opportunity to speak, I was going to share on this. And it's this right here. Loving Jesus and spending time with Him. It might seem very simplistic, but this is the key. This is the foundation. Loving Jesus. As Christians, we're supposed to love Jesus. Love Jesus, and not just loving Jesus, but loving Jesus looks like something. It looks like you spending time with Jesus. Amen. To know someone, you have to spend time with them. And we are called not just to love Jesus, but to spend time with Jesus. And he's longing for it. He's sitting there on the edge of heaven. He's saying, hey, daughter, son, I want you to spend time with me. I want you to get in your word. I want you to put on that worship music. I want you to spend time with me. I want to change you. I want to make things better in your life. I want to put my presence so on you, my glory so on you. Everywhere you go, people will see something on you. You will be a difference maker. But to have that, to be used by God in such a powerful way that we hear about in the Word of God and in books, you have to spend time with Jesus. it's not going to just happen because when you were 5 years old, they gave an altar call and you got saved and they gave you a sucker and you went back to your seat and that's it. Daily, you have to spend time with Jesus and to know him. Destiny and I, before I got married to Destiny, I kind of needed to know some things about her. I didn't want to just marry some woman. It could have been some crazy woman or some crazy guy. You got to know that person. You better not wait to have those hard talks after you're married. You better talk and say, hey, this is what I feel. This is where I want to go to church. Don't wait till after you're married. Get that settled first. You know someone. And you see how they can compliment you and you compliment them. And it's not that, and you get along with each other. That's a big one. You don't want to just get married to someone so you could just hook up with them. That will get old real fast. But you have to know them and see how they are. There's this show Destiny and I watch. We watch one season of it, and it's called this, Married at First Sight. Is a very interesting show. And they take these supposedly experts and they know everything. They went to college. They have these big degrees. When you say their name, they have a bunch of other stuff you have to say after their name. And they're experts in people and how people are and relationships and guys and girls. And they get all these people and they say, okay, if you want to get married, you know, right away, sign up, and thousands of people sign up. I'll get married at first sight. I want to be on TV. And they start interviewing people, and they start filtering out, and they get down to a select group of people. And usually it's like 12, six couples. And they put people together who they think would be compatible with this person. And the thing is, here's the kicker, so you have to get married to that person, and the first time you see your husband or your wife is when they're walking down the aisle. You don't meet them before. You don't have coffee. It's literally right when you have a big wedding, the families are there, and they come down the aisle. It's called Married at First Sight. And they get married, and then they show them and the process of them being married and how that's going. And it's amazing. These so-called experts will put people together, and they'll get married. And it's funny because the groom's there, and then the bride will come down the aisle, and the groom will be all happy. And the bride sometimes is like, oh, no. What in the world? What were those doctors or those experts thinking? Or it's the other way around. The groom's there, and the bride comes down and she sees him and she's like, wow, okay. And the groom's going, oh, man. But it follows them and it shows them going through, you know, tough times. And, you know, the guy raises his voice at her or she raises his voice at him. And they go through it. And then at the very end, they tell you if they last, if they stayed married. And almost every one of them don't stay married. But it's kind of like us as Christians. We got saved. We love God. We go to church on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, but we don't have that fellowship with God that we are called to have. With God, when you gave your life to him, it's not just a married at first sight and that's it. We're called to have a continuing fellowship with Jesus. Amen. And he's longing for it. He wants you to spend time with him. Amen. And this is so many powerful ministers. And I've grown up in a ministry family, a ministry home. I've seen powerful ministers completely shaking nations, used by God, powerful men and women of God. I see them completely get lost. They were serving God. God's using them powerfully. And then all of a sudden, they're not serving God anymore. They're not in church anymore. And I remember that would confuse me. I'm thinking, here they are. I see these people. that God's using them mightily, and now they're not serving God. What is it? Are people maybe that come to church, they go to church, and then all of a sudden they leave church and stop going to church anymore? They might blame the people, whatever it is. But the reason why people go to church, leave church, or these ministers used by God, God's using them powerfully, now they're not even serving God. The reason why is because they got away from being with Jesus. They have given out more than they have taken in. And they, well, that's what you would call burnt out. Serving Jesus, you're not called to be burnt out. You have to have that time with Jesus. Not you always giving to someone. Everyone calls you. You say, I'll be there. Sometimes you just have to say, no, I can't be there. Oh, I need you to help my grandkids. I need you to do this, do that, pray for them. And all of a sudden, if you neglect that time with Jesus, spending time in his presence, if you neglect that, you will get burnt out. And we are not called to be burnt out Christians. That's what happens with those ministers. God's using them powerfully. They're having three services a day, thousands of people. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Then they go to the next city. People, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I got to tell you my story. I know how that's like a little bit. Destiny and I travel. We in February, we did a Canada tour. We traveled thousands of miles. It was 11 days. I spoke 9 times. And people don't realize when you go preach at the churches, you have dinner before with the pastors. You talk to them. Their people come. They ask you a lot of questions. After you have dinner with them, they say, pray for me, pray for me. And after a little bit of that, you kind of say, you know what? Why don't you pray for me? Because I don't want to hear your story right now. But you can't say that. But the secret to not being burnt out, the secret to not, you know, getting mad is having that time with Jesus, you and Jesus, you daily spending time in his word, you daily listening to worship music, you daily filling up yourself. There's a lot of Christians walking around and they're half full. They're on empty, but we are called to be overflowing with Jesus. It says that in Ephesians, it says, be being filled with the Spirit. And it talks about singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The way you can be filled with Jesus is singing, spending time in worship, getting in his word. We're called to be overflowing. We're not called to be burnt out. This is priority. This is priority number one. Our time with Jesus. Loving Jesus and spending time with him. Nothing can take this place. Not even what you can do for God, even the works. You might say, oh, I'm serving, I'm volunteering, I'm passing out tracts. That will never take the place of you spending time with Jesus. Amen? I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. The disciples asked Jesus, verse 36, they said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? This is a trick question. The Old Testament has so many laws. And they said, hey, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? This is what Jesus says right here, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So Jesus says, this is the greatest commandment right here, that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Verse 39, and the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus says this, here's the two greatest commandments. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. But for you to love your neighbor as yourself, you got to make sure you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's not just about you giving out, giving out, giving out. It doesn't work like this. It works like this. Love God, then give out. You spend time with him. You love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Then you can love your neighbor as yourself. There's times that I don't feel like loving my neighbor as myself. But when I spend time in the Word, when I spend time reading the Word and spend time in worship, I can see, well, that, while I have it all corrected now, I'm realigned. I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. I've been spending time in his presence. Now I can love thy neighbor as thyself. It doesn't work about you just giving all the time, but it has to come from him. There's this transaction. You love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Then you love your neighbor as yourself. And I've seen people get so busy with the works of the Lord and forget the Lord of the works. You can think you're so busy. You can have all this. You can have Monday prayer group, Tuesday, all this. And you're going and going and going. And the whole time you're just more tired and more tired and more burnt out, more burnt out. Because the way it's set up, you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Then you love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? To be a successful Christian in this life, you have to spend time with Jesus. Amen? It's not just about going to, you know, these meetings all the time. I've seen so many people, they go from meeting to meeting, or maybe they have their time with the Lord on Sunday morning. No, it's more than that. We are called daily to have our time with Jesus. And Jesus is our example of this. And this is something I've been meditating. I see all throughout the scripture. Jesus is the example of going away and being with his Father. Jesus never neglected his time with the Father. Jesus, daily, miracles, thousands of people, everyone's around him. People are wanting to touch him. People wanted, they needed needs met in their life. But then you see Jesus, he does that. He works that way. He touches the people. But then you see Jesus going away by himself. Like I said, you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Then you can love your neighbor as yourself. For Jesus to walk in that power, for people being touched and delivered and healed, he had to spend time with his Father. That is the source of Jesus' power right there. Him spending time with his Father. Amen? I want you to turn to Luke chapter 6. And we'll look at verse 10. So we're talking about loving Jesus and spending time with him. We got to spend time with Jesus. Have that fellowship with him. I didn't say you're not in relationship with God, but maybe your fellowship with God is a little, you know, behind. Your relationship with God will never change, but your fellowship with him and spending time with him. So Luke chapter 6, verse 10, and looking round about upon them all, Jesus said to the man with the withered arm, he said, stretch forth your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Can you imagine that? There's a man. He has one good hand. His other arm is not good. Jesus says, stretch forth your hand. That's an act of faith. That guy didn't say, Jesus, I know you said that, but I can't stretch forth thy hand. It's small. No, I'm sure he did something, even though he didn't know what to do. He acted in faith, and his arm stretched out whole like the other. and they were filled with madness and communed with one another what they might do to Jesus. So the religious leaders were filled with madness at this. And they wanted to do something to Jesus. They wanted to hurt Jesus. They wanted to kill him. They did not like this. Verse 12, I want us to look at this. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So you see Jesus going away. You see Jesus all throughout the scriptures going away from people and going out to the mountain and being alone with his Father. That's fellowship. That's spending time. And it says he prayed all night long. He didn't even sleep because he relied on the fellowship of his Father. He relied on him being with his Father. And that's what we're called to be. We're not just called just to go through this life and every day is the same and you're sad and depressed. No, you are called, just like Jesus, he modeled it. You are called to spend time with Jesus and to spend time with your Father. And you do that by getting in the Word, spending time in worship. And don't let anything take that time away. That is the source. That is the key to being a successful Christian, you having that fellowship with God. Another scripture says this, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. I just want you to listen. It says this, rising up a great while before the sun, Jesus departed into a solitary place and prayed. So it says this, before the sun was up, a great while before the sun was up, in the morning, Jesus goes away into a solitude place and prays. Before his day was started, before him walking around and miracles, signs and wonders, before all of that, Jesus went alone to be with his Father. He relied on that time, that fellowship with his Father. And that's what we need to have, a consistent time with God. His disciples knew it. His disciples always saw Jesus going away, being by himself. And that's the key. You have to do that. Destiny and I, you know, there's times with Destiny and I'll go away by myself. I'll go in my room. I'll go outside. I'll go walk. And I have to have that time with Jesus daily. And it's amazing how the enemy will try to steal that time. Before you know it, it's already late. You've been helping everybody else, and you haven't gotten the word. You haven't been listening to worship music. You haven't been praying. And you just say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And then the next day, it happens again. But you have to kind of be militant about it. You have to carve out that time with God. There's been times we'll come home late, and she'll go to bed, and I'll tell her, I'm not going to go to bed, even though I want to go to bed. I'm sleepy. If I have to take a shower to wake myself up, I will. And I'll go in the living room and I'll spend time with Jesus because I need that time. Carving out that time with Jesus. I'll tell Destiny, I might be up a little while. Even though I might sit there and go, man, I want to go to sleep. I want that time with Jesus. Because that's what matters. Amen. That fellowship with Jesus. And his disciples asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, how do we pray? How do we pray? And we know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us to this day our daily bread. Daily, not weekly. Not monthly, daily, he wants to impart into you something fresh and something new. When the children of Israel were in the desert, Jesus, God literally had food fall down, the manna from heaven, and they would eat rocks would burst forth with water and they would drink in the middle of the desert. Supernatural signs. But the thing is, they couldn't collect yesterday's manna. It would spoil. God says, no, I don't want you to eat yesterday's bread. I have something fresh for you today. And that's why it's important that we develop this fellowship with God, that we carve out this time with God on a daily basis, because God says, I have something fresh for you today. I have something new for you today. I know I've used you back in the past, and those are not your greater days, but your greater days are ahead of you. But it starts today. And I want you to turn to John chapter 6. Verse 31, it says this. John chapter 6, verse 31. They said this to Jesus. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. It wasn't Moses that was doing it. Moses did not give you that bread from heaven, but my Father give you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. So the disciples said, we want this bread. Give us this bread. And Jesus says this, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Jesus says, I am that bread. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus says, I am the bread. And with me, you'll never hunger again. You'll never thirst. There's a lot of hungry people out there, especially in California. A lot of thirsty people. When we're walking around LA, we see people, and you might see them with pink hair and acting crazy and talking to themselves. I see this. They're hungry for something. They're thirsty for something, and nothing is satisfying them. Let me tell you, nothing will satisfy your thirst. Nothing will satisfy your hunger but Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread. So daily, Jesus is saying, I want to give you something fresh each and every day. I am the bread. And God, the people God has used mightily all throughout the scripture and books. I love reading, and you hear about these generals that God's used and what they did. They all had that time of going away and being with Jesus. And they never neglected that time. Amen? Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, it says this, in the end days, many will come and say, Lord, did we not have miracles? Did we not have signs and wonders? Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out devils in your name? And it says this, Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. So this is people literally rocking it for the kingdom. You see them. They're having miracle signs and wonders. God loves his people. But Jesus says, yeah, you did all that, but I never knew you. It's all about intimacy. Intimacy with Jesus is the highest calling. Not about what you can do for other people and do all that. That's great. But Jesus is saying, I want to be your first love. I want you to spend that time with me. Intimacy. And there's literally going to be people in the last days that it looks like from the outside, God used them mightily, but they never had that intimacy with him. And Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And it says, many will come. That's the highest calling right there, intimacy. being with Jesus and knowing his love for you. Hallelujah. And this hunger for God, this I grew up in church. Every time the doors were open, I had to be there. And I knew how to get by. I knew how to talk the talk. Brandon, how you doing? I'm doing blessed. Highly favored. God's good. Lord's my shepherd. Shall not want. I knew how to get by. But it wasn't genuine. I wasn't having that intimacy, that fellowship with God that we are called to have. And I remember it changed about 2 years before I met Destiny. I started having that hunger for God and spending time in his word and spending time listening to worship music. And my life started to change. I started noticing things that I was fighting, bondages, addictions, those were completely broken off of me. I started noticing I had the mind of Christ. My mind was clear. Just simple things. We'd play games at my family. We'd play these like games, and they'd say, Brandon, you're a lot smarter now. I said, I've always been smart, but I knew I was getting the mind of Christ, reading Proverbs and speaking over myself. Things started changing. People, literally, I knew my whole entire life, didn't recognize me. I would go around them, and they would act like, I'm like, why are they acting like they don't know me? And they'd say, we didn't recognize you. What are you doing? And I'd play it off. Oh, you know, maybe I'm working out. I don't know. But what the truth of the matter is, I was in the Word. I was spending time having that fellowship with God daily. And I started hearing the Lord speak to me. I started hearing his voice. And before, I had a lot of other noises in my life. TV, music I shouldn't be listening to, hanging out with people I shouldn't be hanging out with, had a lot of noises, and I couldn't hear what God was saying to me, and it was like all I had peace, I had quietness, I had stillness, I had clarity, and I could hear the Lord speaking to me. I would work out at this gym. And where I'm from in Branson, there's a lot of hotels. And the thing that's kind of fun, in the summertime, you know which hotel you can get into the swimming pool. Well, you don't need a security card. You can do this. So we'd always do that growing up. But someone gave me a pass, and I would go to this resort and work out. And it was 24 hours. Small gym, but it was nice. And I would be in there all by myself, 1, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. Destiny can tell you when we were dating, she's like, why do you work out so late? But I'd be in there by myself, and it was like I was having church in that little workout gym. I would have my music blasting, worship music. I would get on my knees and worship God. No telling what people thought if they saw me. I'd be reading the Word. I'd be there a couple hours, but it was my fellowship with God, and my life was changing. Even when I moved out to California, it was uncomfortable in some areas, but I knew if I seek God and have that fellowship with him, I'll be okay. If I can't neglect that, if I neglect that, then it will be uncomfortable and it won't be good. But if I have that time with Jesus, me being in my small trailer, that's the only way I could survive, last, not get all discouraged, depressed. But I had that time with Jesus. And I would feel empowered. I would feel happy. I would feel joyful. I would sense his presence. And that's what sustained me. And that's what kept me, having that time with Jesus. And we're called to have, not just having a relationship with God, with Jesus, but having that fellowship with him. Amen? That's what matters right there, intimacy, being intimate with God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, Paul tells Timothy, in the last days, there's going to be people that love pleasures more than loving God. We are in the last days. There's people that love things that feel good in their flesh. They love TV. They love going to movies. They love all those little pleasures more than lovers of God. We are called to have him number one in our hearts. Amen. Moses tells God, He says, God, we are not going unless your glory comes with us. Unless your presence comes with us, God, we are not going on this journey. Moses relied on the presence. Moses relied on that. He relied that everywhere I go, I have to have your glory come. Because if it doesn't, we're goners. I'm not going to go. I'm not even going to try. But I need your glory. That's how we have to be daily. God, I need your help. I need your glory. And you spend time with him. And it will get addicting. You start developing this lifestyle, having this fellowship with God, it will get addicting. Well, literally daily, hour after hour will go by. And the thing about it is, it's not even you spending time just in your room by yourself, which you need to. Everywhere you go to the grocery store, you spend time with him. He's on your mind. You're talking. You're praying in the spirit. And even this, I want you to listen to this. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, God and Moses are having this interaction. He's talking to him face to face in the tabernacle. It says this, Moses leaves and Joshua would not leave. Joshua stayed in the tabernacle. He stayed in the presence. He needed the presence. Why are you going to leave? Moses left. Joshua said, I'm just going to sit here and chill for a little bit because the presence of God's in here. And you think that whole soaking in Bethel thing is a whole new deal? Happened in Exodus, thousands of years. Joshua saying, I want the presence. Presence is here. I ain't going nowhere. And he said, I want to be around the glory. I want to be around the anointing. Amen. That's how we have to have. That's how we have to be. I want him. Without him, I'm nothing. I need his presence on a daily basis. I need his glory. I need that strength. I need that anointing. I need you to help me. I need that time with you. I'll carve it out. I'll make it happen. I want to spend time with you because I love you. And Jesus, he's looking. They're looking on the edge of heaven. He lives in our heart, but they're looking. They're saying, spend time with me. Spend time with me. I want to tell you something. I want to encourage you. I know you're going through a lot, daughter. I know you're going through a lot, son, but I want to pour something fresh. I want fresh oil. I want to empower you. So when you go to your family, you're going to be strong and my presence will be on you and I'll give you peace and I'll give you rest. His glory is his goodness. Moses says, show me your glory. He says, I'll make my goodness pass before you. God wants you to be so full of his glory, so full of his goodness. Hallelujah. But it starts by us having that fellowship with him and spending time with him. Not just about going to church Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Tuesday night prayer group, but daily. He's saying, I want to impart into you daily fresh bread. And you'll never hunger and you'll never thirst. I've been there where I wasn't having that time with the Lord and I was hungry for everything. I was thirsty for everything. I was looking for people to accept me. I was looking for compliments. I didn't feel like I was loved. And God is saying, just spend time with me. Stop being thirsty and hungry. Just spend time with me. He is the daily bread. And you're not called to carry any problems. You're not called to carry any worries. Jesus took it for us on the cross. You give it to him. And it says the peace of God in Philippians, you let your requests be known unto God. And it says the peace of God which surpasses all knowledge and all understanding will keep you. You give it to him. You stop carrying everything. Jesus took it for you and I on the cross. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Hallelujah. Here's some scriptures on seeking God. I just want you to listen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not every once in a while. Not just on Sunday morning, but he says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's you and I. Amen? James chapter 4, verse 8 says this, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You get close to God. You start having that time with God. You draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Psalms 105, verse 4 says this, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Jeremiah 29:11. This is some people's favorite verse right here. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. But here's verse 12 and 13. It says this, then shall you call upon me, and you should go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So it says, when you search for me, God is saying, when you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. We got to be people with our whole heart. We are hungering after God, that we long for that fellowship with Jesus. Psalms 89, verse 20, it says this, I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. So it says he found David, his servant. With his holy oil, God anointed him. So God was looking for David. He was looking for David. What was he looking for? He was looking for a man with a heart after God. And it says, God says, I have found David. So guess what? God, he's still looking. He's still looking around, looking for someone who has a heart after him, who longs to have that fellowship with him on a daily basis. Amen. David, we know the story about David. He's out in the field. His own dad didn't think he was good enough to be presented before Samuel to be anointed the next king. He was counted out, but God sees David out in the field. And it says, God says this in Psalms, I found David, a man after my own heart. Amen. It doesn't matter the people you meet. You might say, oh, I need to make this connection. I need to do this. No, you put God first in your life. You have a heart after God. God will promote you. God will exalt you. God is looking for someone who longs to spend time with him. Amen. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. Abiding in him is that intimacy. He's the vine, we're the branch. The life source, the power, the love your neighbor as yourself comes from the vine. We're the branch. But it comes from us having that time with Jesus and bear much fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God so good? Hallelujah. I just want you to close your eyes. We thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, Father, that we will answer that call of having that fellowship with you and spending time with you. We will never let anything steal our time with you. And we thank you, Lord, for that right now. Hallelujah. We worship you. We honor you. I thank you, Lord, for everyone here at the sound of my voice. Never be the same. Let them always remember, Father God, that you want to spend time with them. Hallelujah. If you would say, Brandon, I've had that you know, relationship with God, but I've kind of fallen back on that fellowship with God. Me spending time with him, I let things get in the way of that. But I want to make a change. I want to make a difference right now. And I want to say, Jesus, I will spend time with you on a daily basis and get fresh daily bread from you. I want to make a change right now. I want you to raise your hand. Hallelujah. Amen. God's good. Hallelujah. If you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand, I want you to come to the front. We're going to all say one prayer together. Just answer. Don't look to me. Look as if Jesus is standing here and he's saying, hey, I want you to come right now. And I want you to make a change. I want you to make the decision to spend time with me. I don't want you hungry anymore. I don't want you thirsty anymore. Today will be a fresh new day. There's direction in seeking God with all your heart. And there's no condemnation. If you miss a day, you miss a couple of days, just get back to where you were. Say, Lord, forgive me, and just have that time with him. Hallelujah. There's healing in his glory. Hallelujah. We are carriers of the glory of God. Praise you, Lord. So Lord, hallelujah. We'll be like Moses on a daily basis. Show me your glory. Without your glory, I can't go to work. I need your presence. I need your anointing. I need your peace. Just worship him right now. Just raise your hands. Just you and him. Just receive. He's imparting something fresh into you right now, this morning. A refreshing, a renewing. Just put your eyes on him. Don't put them on anyone else. Just worship him. There's freedom in your glory.
Thank you for checking out our podcast. For more information on His Name Ministries, check out our website at hisnameministries.com or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Have a blessed day.